If you are a parent of a child 1 to 12 years old and you want to move away from harsh punishments, but you're wondering, how do I discipline my children effectively? I don't know if what I'm doing is doing more harm than good. I don't know if I'm being too rough or too soft. I want to find the middle ground. I want to find the perfect combination between firm yet warm. I want my children to not fear me, but at the same time, I want them to listen to me. If that is you, it depends on how old your children are, because the discipline that you provide for a one-year-old looks different to the discipline that you provide for a 12-year-old. And on this podcast episode, I'm going to break it down by ages. I'm going to take 1 to 3 years old discipline, 4 to 7 years old discipline, and 8 to 12 years old discipline. I'm going to tell you what works for those ages so you can find that middle ground, feel more confident when setting limits, when talking to your children about their actions, about consequences. I am Marcela Collier, head coach of HIC Parenting Education Agency. And you are listening to the Parenting with Understanding podcast. HIC Parenting is a parenting education agency with the mission to help parents like you break their cycle of frustration, bring peace to their parenting, and raise emotionally healthy children. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Parenting with Understanding podcast. My name is Marcela Collier, head coach of HIC Parenting Education. And today we're going to break down by ages discipline strategy, how discipline looks like for a 1-year-old versus a 12-year-old. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about consequences. We're going to talk about how to teach that positive behavior in a way that sticks. And the teaching of today is going to be based on my ebook bundle, Discipline Without Harm. So I am a certified positive discipline educator, and I compiled in my ebook bundle all the techniques, tools, strategies, examples, stories of things that work to discipline our children without making them feel less, with confidence, so we get a lot more cooperation, understanding, communication, and less the power struggle. And this week, from March 28th to March 30th of 2024, we are having a big 30% off Easter sale of my ebook bundle, Discipline Without Harm, so you can have all the tools you need to discipline your children effectively. Imagine that this episode is the preview. The ebook is the full training, and it is not just the ebook, it's a bundle. It comes with video classes as well about transitions, about when children don't listen. You are going to have not just the guidance from the reading you're going to do on the ebook, but my guidance through those video classes as well. If you want to take advantage of this 30% off sale, then all you have to do is open the description of this podcast episode and the link is there, or go to hicparenting.com and the link is there as well, or you can find it on the link in my bio, in my social media at High Impact Club, on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, every place where we are at. So before we get into breaking it down by ages, the discipline that works, I want to clear the air about what discipline is and what discipline is not. Because discipline is not the things that we do to our children to make them pay for a behavior they did. Discipline is basically guiding our children, basically teaching our children, showing them the path, showing them the better way. It's focused on the future and not on the past. We review the past to plan for the future. We don't get stuck on the past as punishments do. Because you did this, then you're not going to have ice cream. We don't do that because we look to the future. We don't stay stuck in the shame of the past. That's what discipline is. Discipline is developing our children's self-discipline. The ultimate goal of effective discipline is for our children to develop self-discipline, meaning that in the future, when they're adults, they won't need a consequence or a reward, or they won't need somebody to be on top of them to tell them what's right and what's wrong, but rather they're able to choose because they have moral, because they have work ethic, because they know right from wrong, and they have the tools to choose right and not wrong. That's the ultimate goal of discipline. So as I walk you through these stages, according to the ages of your children, you're going to see that that discipline starts really hands-on, and then you're going to start stepping away until you trust your children to self-discipline. That's the ultimate goal, because as my old school mom said, no te voy a durar toda la vida. We're not going to be there for them all the time, forever, right? So they're going to have to figure it out on their own, but instead of them just figuring it out or creating or developing their own skills, the idea is that we release them to the world with those skills so they don't suffer as much as we did. Okay, so now that we're clear about what discipline is and what discipline is not and the ultimate goal of discipline, let's talk about the ages, 1 to 3. When you're toddler stage, how do we discipline toddlers? That's a big question. One of the biggest questions that I get in my social media. So imagine that your toddler is a little seed that you plant, and then you cover it with dirt, and then you start watering that seed, expecting to grow a beautiful flower. So I call toddler discipline the watering stage. You are watering and watering, and you are not visibly seeing results, but the results are showing up underneath the surface. The roots are taking place. The roots are spreading out. It's sinking in. They're soaking in every inch of water that you pour onto them, but you don't see it yet because it's not the timing. So how would this look like? If we know that discipline is guiding, is teaching, is showing based on what they did, so we set them up for the future. Let's just suppose that your three-year-old snatched a toy out of their baby sister because they wanted that toy. So what's the skill that we want to develop in them? Maybe the skill would be waiting for baby sister to be done with the toy for them to pick it up. Maybe asking for permission. Can I play with it right now? Maybe going to the authority figure. Maybe finding another thing to do while they wait. Those hard skills that us adults use in our adult life. I go to the gym and I don't go to the treadmill and take the lady who is on the treadmill off so I could go in. I wait for my turn. I do something else while she's done. I wait, right? Or on the worst case scenario, if she's been there too long, I might say something, right? And I may ask to share the machinery or whatnot. Those are the skills that us adults have to manage those kind of interactions when we want the same thing that somebody else has and we can use it. So it's about thinking, if I were in this very same situation as an adult, what would I do? What skill would I need? And then apply with your son, with your daughter, who is having a hard time. And right now she's snatching toys out of our baby sister's hands. So your daughter, your son is 3 and under. That means that their brain is undeveloped. And as much as you tell them, hey, wait your turn, it's not your turn yet, you have to wait until she's done playing with ABC toy, they don't have the emotional regulation skills and self-control developed in their brain to control impulses and say, hey, yeah, I'm going to wait patiently. I'm going to do what she says. So that little toddler is going to have tantrums, to have outbursts. Discipline at that age is teaching them the skill and co-regulating. Basically, that's what you do the whole day. You show them the skill. You explain to them what to do instead. And when the tears happen, you are right next to them, lending them your calm, helping them cool down, consoling them, because their little brain cannot control all impulses when they are that frustrated. That's what watering looks like. You don't see it because you don't see your three-year-old saying, hey, mom, you're completely right. I should wait my turn very patiently. Maybe out of the blue, you might get that sometime, but most of the time you won't get that. So you're watering and that water is not being wasted. That water is being soaked up by the roots of your child's subconscious mind and nervous system. And you're going to see that fruit later when they're a little bit older. Discipline at this stage is guidance without expecting right away result and being right next to them, co-regulating with them when the tears happen, holding the boundary. If the boundary is baby sister is not done with ABC toy, then baby sister is not done with the ABC toy. Even if there are tears in your three-year-old's face, that's the boundary. And you are not doing them a disservice. You are teaching them how the world works. So that's discipline from 1 to 3 years old. I was just done with a live Q&A in Zoom. And there was a mom who said, like, but my 2.5-year-old, she does not listen right away. She's not going to. She's not going to because 2.5-year-olds are just learning how to be a human. They don't even have bladder control yet to control their own impulse of going to the bathroom. So, of course, they won't have the control to follow your instruction. But you do guide them. You do show them. You do set the limit. You do stick to the limit while warmly co-regulating with them, soothing them, telling them it's okay. I see how frustrated you are. You wanted to play with that toy and you cannot have it. I'm here with you. Pat on the back. Do you need a hug? Let's take a few deep breaths. Oh, you started hitting. Okay, let me put your hands down and I set the limit. No. No is a complete sentence. You can say no. I saw on TikTok a mom, the toddler, he was frustrated and then he started, you know, hitting her. She took his little hands gently, put it down, and then she looked at him on the face and firmly, yet without yelling, she said, no, like that. And the child stopped hitting. She didn't hold his hands anymore. She just let go and he stopped. Do that. In my ebook bundle, Discipline Without Harm, I talk about natural consequences and logical consequences. During this stage, I would not worry so much about logical consequences because there is nothing logical for a toddler. Nothing comes logically for them. They're living through their limbic system, through their emotional responses. So I would use more natural consequences. Let's again clear the air again. Because I've seen in social media, gentle parenting, that people have no idea what natural consequences are. A timeout is not a natural consequence. Taking a toy away is not a natural consequence. Natural consequences are completely out of the parent's doing. They happen because they're causality based. If I go outside and it's cold and I'm not wearing a coat, then the natural consequence is that I'm getting cold, right? Now, be careful because there are some natural consequences that we don't want our children to live because they're not safe. So use them wisely. How would a natural consequence apply for a little toddler? How would it apply? We were on a play date. The twins were little toddlers. And one of my twins didn't want his friends to touch any toy. And you know what? I should have acted proactively there. Now that I'm thinking about proactive discipline that I talk in my ebook, Discipline Without Harm, that was 8 years ago. I would have acted proactively there. And probably I should have hid their favorite toys, but I didn't. Anyhow, like my son didn't want any toy to be touched by any of the kids on the play date. What happened? The natural consequence is that my son was having such a hard time because he couldn't keep up with the kids trying to get his toys. So what we did is that I gave him a little break and I took some of his favorite toys and took him to his bedroom. But natural consequences relate more to what would inevitably happen if the child keeps behaving the same way, right? So natural consequences are a good teacher, but they don't teach enough if you are not right next to your child, explaining to them what's really happening. How come all the kids are now wanting to play with him? He would not process that himself if I wasn't there explaining, hey, because when you don't want to share any toy, they're going to find their own things to play with and they're not going to invite you because they know that you don't share the toys. You know, my son was like 3 years old or so. It's about that. Explaining what's happening, what's the consequence of their actions. And if it's not a safe consequence, then avoid it. You know, like some people tell me, how would not I spank my kids if they run on the street? Why are they running on the street in the first place? Because you should have, like, just hold their hands, hold them. I remember I had my twins. I couldn't hold both of them at the same time. So I was using my stroller all the time, my double stroller. Every time I parked in a parking lot, I got out the stroller, I put them in the stroller, and I went into the place I was going. Even if it was just going across the street, across the parking lot, they were always on the stroller to prevent them running all different directions and being unsafe, you know? So prevent those unsafe natural consequences. You don't have to spank your kids. Let's move on to the next stage, which is 4 to 7 years old. So they have a sense of rationality. It's not too much. They're still living in their limbic system or emotional brain. There is still not a lot of logic there, but a little bit. You're able to talk to them and they're able to talk to you. So on that stage, I don't call it the watering stage, but I call it the fertilizing stage. If you did things right in the toddlerhood years, they're already showing you signs of the fruit of your labor when you were working so hard in teaching them the better way. So you're going to see in toddlerhood, they used to take toys out of sister hands all the time, all the time, all the time. Now you're going to see your 4 to 7 year old child waiting for their turn, sharing, asking when they can have the toy. Some of the times, I was going to say a lot of the times, no. Now most of the times, some of the times. So again, they still have undeveloped brains. They still have a lot to work towards. But you start seeing the fruit of your hard labor that you did in toddlerhood in the 4 to 7 years. I saw it with my twins. We went from me being there all the time, guiding their interaction, to just stepping back for a little bit and seeing what they're doing. Right now, they're 7 years old. They're getting out of that stage of the fertilizing stage. And what I do is that I don't intervene all the time. If I see that they have a conflict, I wait. I trust in the guidance that I've been doing with them since they were one. And most of the time, they're able to work it out. Now, most of the time, they're almost 8. So if you're 4 to 7 year old children, so guidance, so encouragement, so teaching instead of punishments, timeouts, consequences, isolation, spanking. If they saw what good positive interaction is, you're going to see the fruit in the 4 to 7 year old stage, which is really great. There are going to be the times that you have to intervene. You have to. My twins, I think I already told this story. Maybe yes, maybe no. For sure in reels, but I don't know if here on the podcast. I got a text from the neighbor. Hey, your twins are hitting my garage door with their basketball. I talked to them and then they said, we were knocking on the door for us to play with their son, but they were not opening. So we thought maybe if we knocked the door with our basketballs, the garage door, they might open because it's louder. So that was their thinking behind it. Number one, trust, give them unconditional positive regard. Trust your children's good intentions. Most of the time they have good intentions behind it, you know? So I didn't go there thinking like, oh, why are they so rude? No, I looked at them and I was curious. And I saw that they needed my guidance in that regard. So we had a conversation. The fertilizing stage, which is 4 to 7, you are basically giving nutrients to that soil that you already watered in the toddlerhood years. So how do I do this? In the toddlerhood years, I already talked about being kind, what's the kind thing to do, you know? And then I went with that foundation and I had the conversation with them. Hey, sons, how do you think the neighbor was feeling when she saw you guys hitting the garage door against the door? Did you think that she felt happy? Or how do you think she felt? And they were like, maybe she felt angry because we were hitting the door. Yeah, because that's not kind. So when you've been developing values in your children, you can talk about those values. It's not about the behavior so much. It's about which values do you want them to have? Because from those values is that they're going to make their independent choices from now on in different circumstances that they're living. Okay, son, so what can we do to make this better? And then they gave me an idea. They say, what about we clean the marks? Okay, yeah, we can ask the neighbor if she wants us to clean the basketball marks. And you know what could be good as well? Let's write an apology letter because I'm sure she's feeling hurt. And they did. So on this fertilizing stage, I don't rely just on natural consequences. I apply logical consequences. Logical consequences are directly related to the behavior. So because you did this, you're not going to have ice cream in the afternoon, or you're not going to have your iPads the rest of the day. That's not correlated. So it feels like a punishment. So it feels like an arbitrary thing that we're doing towards them. But because it's correlated, because it's based on values, because it's based on a good conversation and not a shaming conversation, they did it. They didn't, even without my prompting. We talked about it, and then I didn't say anything. I didn't follow up with them. They naturally, a few hours later, I saw them on the table writing their apology letter, and then they went with a little bucket, and I think it was a magic eraser to clean up the marks. They even had a little conversation with the neighbor because she came out, and then I heard her talking to them. And they did it without me reminding them. Because it wasn't from coercion, it wasn't from shame, it wasn't from none of that, from punishment. It was from values, from a good conversation, and from the nutrients that I was putting in their little soil. It was a very teachable moment for them. They learned. That was the last time they did it. Then the next day, they went and knocked the door. The neighbor didn't open. They came back. They learned their lesson. So we don't need to harm our children for them to learn their lessons. It's a continuous process. That's why our children are children for 18 years, because it takes all that long to develop great humans. They're already great, but I'm saying well-adapted humans. Okay, so we already talked about the toddlerhood stage 1 to 3 is the watering stage. You don't see the flower, but you're watering and they're taking roots. Then we talked about the fertilizing stage, which is 4 to 7. We are giving nutrients to already fertile soiled, watered soil with our guidance, giving them space to self-correct. And then the next stage is from 8 to 12 years old. They have a lot more insight. They have a moral system that by now they are able to reflect on own behavior. They are able to come up with their own logical consequences. So on the last stage, it was me, the one suggesting to them, telling them. They had an idea, but it was mostly me when it came to logical consequences. From ages 8 to 12, they could come up with their own and we could have a frank conversations. Okay. My foster son, he was 9 years old. We got a letter from school saying, hey, he hasn't been turning in his homework for the last week. Oh, his son, what is the value there? What is the value that I want to teach them? Responsibility. I want you to be a responsible person. I'm somebody who doesn't turn in their homework, does not show responsibility. So how can you show responsibility? And then he said, turning in my homework. And say, okay, but you have not turned in your homework the last week. So you need to turn in that homework. Yeah, and then the other homework. Okay, so what can we do to turn all your homework in and value the responsibility? And he said, oh, maybe I could do it now. And I'm going to play my video games later. He did it. It took him like 2 hours. Poor boy. But he brought it on him. He brought it on himself. So the 8 to 12 year old stage, I call it the growth stage. So there is already a flower, but this flower is strong enough to grow with their own tools, to grow on its own with a little bit of our guidance. They still need a lot, but not so much compared to when they were 4 or 3. They still need our guidance though. On this stage, what works best is to set up an environment for them to self-discipline. Remember that the ultimate goal of discipline is to raise self-disciplined individuals. If you're a disciplined person, you win in life. So how can we do this? How can we finally set up this stage for them to be self-disciplined? That comes with routines, that comes with schedules, that comes with to-do lists if they thrive on that. That comes with setting consistency. With my foster son, we had a cell phone station. Every time he ate dinner, after dinner, he had like a 30 minutes of screen time or so. That was a long time ago. He's an adult now. Long time ago. So I'm just remembering he had some screen time after dinner, but then that was in the living room. Before he walked into his bedroom, he needed to leave his cell phone in the cell phone basket station that was placed in the beginning of the hallway before he walked into the bedroom area. So it's about that system. What kind of system we can set in place so they can be responsible, so it's not as nagging, so it's not as reminding them, so it's not as telling them all the time. Self-discipline is the ultimate goal of discipline, the ultimate goal. And if the cell phone basket worked for us, but if it had not worked for us, we would have that conversation. Okay, the cell phone basket is not working for you to leave the phone there before you go into the bedroom area. What could help you? And have your tween give you their input. Because again, they're not toddlers anymore. They're not little kids anymore. They're becoming teenagers and they have more insight. So have them tell you, what do they need? What do you need? Have them tell you. I remember the phone basket was my foster son's idea because he was forgetting every time. It was a rule in our house of no cell phones in the bedroom, cell phones in the living area. And it was his idea when I asked him, how can we help you or how can you help yourself not forget to leave your cell phone in the living area? That was when he was able to have a phone. He wasn't 9 at the time. He was older. He might have been 13 at the time. But bottom line, how can we set up that system? That's the key. Okay, so this was a long episode. And if you want to dive deeper into the tools to apply discipline in a way that sticks, in a way that your children understand you, the corrective discipline, the preventative discipline, the how to do the prompting, how to set up the stage. I gave you an overview on this episode. But the full training is in my ebook bundle, Discipline Without Harm. I compile my experience as a therapeutic provider for 9 years, as a parenting coach for 4.5 years into this ebook. And it's 30% off for Easter sale if you are listening to this podcast episode from March 28th to March 30th. It's on our website, hicparenting.com. If this episode gave you some insight on how to navigate discipline with your children, if the whole Parenting with Understanding podcast has helped you in your parenting, would you leave us a positive review? Please, that will help us so much get to so many other parents who are needing this guidance. All you have to do is open the podcast episode, scroll down to the bottom, leave us your positive review, and I will thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you want to go back to the show notes of this podcast episode, visit hicparenting.com. The show notes are there. And remember, it only takes understanding of yourself as a parent and of your children's needs to transform your parenting. That's Parenting with Understanding. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Parenting with Understanding podcast. For more information on how to bring peace to your parenting and raise emotionally healthy children, head over to www.hicparenting.com. We'll see you soon.